Good evening and welcome to another edition of the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcast live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. I'm John Coffey alongside with Matt Gorder and our sideline reporter for Bearcat football games, Chris Roush. And we've got another good show lined up for you tonight. Our guests tonight include Northwest Women's Volleyball Coach Amy Worth, along with volleyball player Brooke Bartosz, Northwest Men's and Women's Tennis Coach Mark Rosewell, and Northwest Head Football Coach Adam Dorrell. And Matt Gorder, another good week of Northwest athletics to talk about coming up tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, in the fall, it just seems like it's constantly busy. It's just about every day of the week, aside from Sunday, of course, where somebody seems to be in action somewhere, and that's what's great about this time of year.
Reminder that support for the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the Student Body, screen printing and embroidery, now located near the Northwest campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Student Body provides Bearcat fanwear, custom screen printing, and embroidery for our teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. Support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch or dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More information at 660-582-2699. And as always, our thanks to Carson, Renee, and the waitstaff here at Carson's for all their work throughout this evening. Don't forget as well that if you have any questions for our guests tonight, pick up a question card from Rodney over to my left. Write out your question, and we'll pass it along to our guests as well. And we'd also like to thank Northwest Assistant Athletic Director for Media Relations, Marshall Fay, for all the help he has and gives us throughout the week in lining up our guests, and also during our weekends with all the activities going on around campus. So, again, we've got a good show on hand tonight. Several giveaways throughout the show as well. So if you're in attendance here, you've got a chance for some of our giveaways. And if you're listening, you're in for a treat with all the guests that we have lined up for tonight. When we come back, we'll hear from the head tennis coach at Northwest Missouri State, Mark Rosewell. That's coming up as the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show continues from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for today's game comes from Taco John's at 1015 South Main in Maryville. Serving breakfast and dinner, Taco John's is open Sunday through Thursday from 7 a.m. until midnight and until 2 a.m. Friday and Saturday. More at tacojohns.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Bolin Auto and Truck Parts. Services include brake and suspension work as well as a driveline facility. Bolin Auto and Truck Parts, located at 10th and Mitchell in St. Joseph. Family owned since 1951. More at 800-292-6546.
Today's Bearcat Radio broadcast is sponsored by Hy-Vee in Maryville. Hy-Vee supplies tailgaters across the Bearcat Nation with their line of Deluso sliced meats, cheeses, salads, and sandwiches. More in-store at Maryville Hy-Vee at 1217 South Main.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is underwritten by Edward Jones Financial Advisor J.R. Kurz, offering retirement and investment advice on the Maryville Square at 119 East 4th Street. More information is available at 660-582-7196. Today's game on the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the monks of Conception Abbey, praising God and serving the Northwest community since 1873 through ministries such as the Abbey Guest Center and the Prinery House. More information at conceptionabbey.org.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by St. Francis Hospital and Health Services at 2016 South Main in Maryville. St. Francis services include emergency care, surgery, mammography, and obstetrics. More information is available at stfrancismaryville.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, joined now by the head tennis coach at Northwest Missouri State for both the men and women, Mark Rosewell. And Mark, good to have you with us tonight. Mark, let's talk about, first of all, last weekend. It was a big weekend for your teams, competing in the ITA Regional Tournament, which this year held down in Springfield. And that's a tournament that is really a big tournament for all the regional teams at this time of year. And just, first of all, talk a little bit about the ITA format and some of the things that make that such a big tournament.
Well, we actually started doing this tournament in 1988. You know, we've hosted this tournament many, many times in Maryville. And it really, all the teams in the region playing this thing, singles and doubles, it's an individual tournament. But then we derive the team rankings and individual rankings from this.
And one of the things that's been fairly consistent through the years is the fact that Northwest Missouri State has had a lot of success in that tournament.
We really have, John. It's we've usually played pretty well at the tournament. We're really proud of what we've done.
Hey, let's talk about this past weekend. And who are some of your players that performed well in this event?
Well, I mean, we'd have to start off with Luis and Sergio. They got to the finals again in doubles. Now, they won that last year. The Wachita Baptists who beat them didn't have a team in this year, so that's who they played in the finals, and they beat them.
And in as far as the women, talk about how the women did this weekend.
We're a little bit beat up on the women's side, but Alexis Bartek, she played a couple rounds, did well. Stephanie Mannix beat Upper Iowa's number one girl, so they did okay.
And is this a good test for your team and to see maybe where things will end up in the spring when you go into more team type of competition?
Yeah, and you get to see what everybody else has got. That's what I like about it. You know, sometimes as teams in Oklahoma and some of the places a little bit further from us, you don't always have the opportunity to see what's going on. Usually the MIAAs, schools, you know, pretty much. But I think that you can kind of see what you need and what you got to get and where you're going to be. It's a great thing to go to.
Now, the region's changed just a little bit in the last couple of years. Talk a little bit about the change in the region for you.
Well, it's flipped around several times, but now I think they've standardized it for all the sports. But we're obviously our league, and we used to be in there with, the League of Texas and Abilene and those schools and so forth. But now they've gone north, which is better in tennis. For us, we have a lot better chance, and that's worked out pretty well for us. The second year that we've gone in the new format.
When you talk about going north, it really puts you up against teams in similar circumstances weather-wise, a little bit more so.
It really does. I think it's more fair, and just a lot of things, scholarship situations and so forth. But tennis, like a lot of the spring sports, when you go south, it seems to get more difficult.
And as far as the ITA tournament, again, it's in Springfield now. In the past, as you mentioned, Maryville's had a chance to host that. I think Washburn over in Topeka has hosted that in the past. But it really seems like you've gone to a facility in Springfield that is very advantageous for everybody.
John, it's the finest facility in the state of Missouri, bar none. I mean, any place that has 12 indoor courts, you know yourself, that's a lot of indoor courts, and then 15 outdoors. It's going to be hard to get away from that place, and we've been hosting our conference tournament there, too.
Now, it's kind of the ITA regional tournament kind of finishes up the fall season for you, which is a lot different type of season than what you have during the spring portion of the season. And let's just kind of go back to the past month and some of the tournaments your players have taken part in, and what's the goal of some of these tournaments for you?
Well, we try to play as much as we can, and we kind of really pushed a lot of tennis into about 3 weeks because we start a little later than some of the other schools, so that doesn't help us all that much. We got a late start, and then now we're done where this tournament traditionally has been the first of October and so forth, so it was a little bit hard on us in that aspect, but I think that, we played in the Washburn tournament. That's got Rockhurst and all the MIAA schools. We got a chance to kind of look around there and see, what our competition level was. And then, of course, the ITA. And we were actually we were rained out. We were supposed to play Truman State. He's not in the league anymore, but a team we're certainly still going to play.
I know in a couple of those events you say, well, they weren't keeping team score, but had they been keeping team scores, that your squad would have done very well in them.
Yeah, that's right.
First of all, let's talk about the men right now. That individually, who are some of the players that had a good fall season and some of them that you're looking for some good things out of coming up this spring?
Well, I think our men's team, we've got four guys that are really fine players. And I really believe on some of the other schools, even in our league, any of these four guys could play number one, for their team. I mean, we had four guys in the 16s of the ITA tournament, and then we had three in the quarterfinals. That's 3 out of 8, you know, from Northwest. So it was kind of like us against the rest of the region there. Now, we didn't do so well in the semifinals, but still, team-wise, that's a good sign. I think we're going to be ranked either 1 or 2 with Wichita Baptist for the, you know, the first rankings in the fall.
Seems like Wichita Baptist is a team that's put together a pretty fine tennis program.
Yeah, they got a real emphasis on tennis down there. They got a nice indoor facility, and, you know, they really get after it, tennis, and they've been good probably the last 20 years.
What about the individuals on your men's team? Who are some of the guys that have really performed well for you?
Well, we've got a young man that came in last spring. He got to the semifinals of the tournament, Alvaro and Riveras, and I think he's really, really coming along. You know, he played 3 for us last year, and he may play 3 again, but he's gotten much stronger. And then Luis, who I mentioned on the doubles, they got to the finals. He got to the top 8 in singles. He's a senior this year, and he's a good senior. He's a co-captain, a guy you want in there in charge helping. And then Sergio, we all know him, and the talent he has is a legitimate number one player. But we got a new French kid in, Julian, and this kid's pretty good. Coach Calvin found him, you know, and I'm glad he did. This kid's pretty good.
And just talk a little bit about recruiting. And how do you find some of these players that come into the program? You've got several other foreign players that come in and really perform well. Not only perform well on the court, but also are a standout in the classroom as well. What are some of the things you go through to bring in these type of players?
Well, you know, we get things on the computer every day. The trouble is you got to find out, first of all, what country are they from, what's the rankings, what's the tennis level in that country, and that's the tricky part of it, you know. I like to go by if you know somebody that you trust, probably like any sport in recruiting, that's what it's all about, and trying to find the best possible player you can. You know, for many years we brought some good junior college players in there. That's dried up a little bit because they've put in some more rules where they don't have as many international players and so forth. I mean, there's still players out there, but maybe not quite as many as there used to be.
Now you talk about listening to either coaches or just people out in the field that you trust. You've developed up a pretty good network of former players from Northwest Missouri State that are out coaching or still affiliated with tennis in one form or another, where you can kind of rely on those type of people that know the Northwest program and know the type of student athlete that would fit in with your program.
That's right, John. You know, that's a good example of that. Coach Jim Mitchell from Yuma, Arizona, he sent us several good American junior college players when I first came to Northwest. Now, that's been about, you know, 25, 30 years ago. But I never forget when somebody sends somebody in. He sent his daughters here. He had a good program out there in Yuma. He's retired now, but he came back a couple weeks ago for Lions Club, and I saw him. And, yeah, you remember those things.
Now, for your women, let's talk about some of the key players on the women's side that you're looking for some good things from coming up in the spring.
Well, our key player, of course, was Cammie, and she's going down to have surgery. God bless her soul. She's got to have a tough day tomorrow. But she's out for the year, torn ACL. And she, you know, we hope the plan is to medical redshirt her and have her back for her senior year next year. Isn't this funny how this works out? But we got another young lady, probably our top recruit from Mexico. She also had a torn ACL. She tore that in the national tournament. But she's going to be, hopefully, Kelly tells me, ready for the spring, and she's going to play. So that's a step in the right direction. She's a niece of Eduardo Jarling. You probably remember him on that great 95 team we had. And then Alexis Bartek, good senior. Stephanie Mannix is a junior this year. And that's probably the top players we have in the women's team.
And now that the fall portion of your schedule is over with, what type of training routine and things do you try to put the team on to get them ready for the spring?
Well, Calvin just mentioned to me he's going to have them in at 6:30 on Monday morning. So I'm sure they're going to really enjoy that. But, you know, the fitness, some of them came in really not in too good shape in August, and we were disappointed in that. And I promise you they'll be in shape by January when they come back. But lifting and you know, October now, we ended pretty early. There's a lot of good weather where we can go out and hit some tennis balls, and you and I can too, you know, and keep playing, you know.
And really, it's a sport where it's almost a year-round commitment that they have to make, isn't it?
John, you know how you get good? You hit more tennis balls than your opponent. That's really the secret. You practice more. It's like any other sport. And if you don't do it, I promise you, your opponent is doing it. And I tell them that all the time or whatever. But if you really want to be good in something, you got to go out there and you got to put your time. That's just the way it is. I mean, everybody's got talent at this level. Yeah.
And one thing about Mark Roosevelt, not only is he a superb tennis coach, but a guy who likes to scout the major leagues a little bit in baseball. He had a chance to go oversee the Cardinals here this week.
I did. I was in St. Louis. We're trying to find a couple girls for January, and I got a chance to go up to the booth with my elementary friend, John Rooney, the broadcaster over there, and Mike Shannon. He's doing a lot better. You know, he had some heart problems, so forth, but he's broadcasting. I really enjoyed seeing them over there.
Well, how the Cards look?
Pretty good. Pretty good. They could go a long ways, I think.
All right. Well, Mark Roosevelt, thanks a lot for being with us, and congratulations on another fine fall season. We look forward to talking with you as the spring season coming around next February, March.
Okay, John. Thanks for having us. Matt, good to see you, too.
Again, that's Mark Roosevelt, head tennis coach at Northwest Missouri State for both the men and women. We've got a lot more coming up. We got some giveaways we'll be announcing, as well as we'll be talking volleyball coming up in the next couple of segments. Amy Worth, the head coach of the volleyball team, will be with us next, as Matt will have a chance to talk to her. That's all coming up on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show, broadcast live from Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Highline Home Furnishings at 1411 South Main in Maryville. Supplying living room, dining room, and bedroom furnishings for the home, as well as mattresses and flooring. More information is available at HighlineHomeFurnishings.com. Support for today's game comes from Farmers Mutual Insurance Company of Nottoway County, insuring homes in town or out and farms in Northwest Missouri since 1891. You can find agent information available at FMNottoway.com. Support for today's game comes from Tri-State Ford and Lincoln at 2017 South Main in Maryville. Tri-State offers the area a selection of new Ford and Lincoln automobiles, as well as pre-owned vehicles. More at TriStateFordLincoln.com or 660-562-3677.
Support for this Bearcat Sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, 582-2699.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Northwest Medical Center in Albany. Northwest Medical Center offers inpatient, outpatient, home health, and emergency services with clinics located in Albany, Stanbury, and Grant City. More at northwestmedicalcenter.org.
Today's game is being underwritten by O'Malley Beverage in St. Joseph, Missouri. O'Malley is the region's supplier of Anheuser-Busch products and would like to remind you to drink responsibly and to always designate a driver. More information at anheuserbusch.com.
And we're back at Carson's in downtown Maryville for the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. We've got giveaways before we get to talking volleyball tonight with Northwest Volleyball Coach Amy Worth. The first of those giveaways, again, thanks to the student body just around the corner here in Maryville on 4th Street. A Northwest Missouri State t-shirt goes to Alice Simpson of Maryville. So, Alice, if you are still here, come on up and claim your shirt. She is right over there. So Alice is a winner of a Northwest shirt and a gift card from the student body. That will go to Katie Crawford, also from Maryville. So our first two winners for tonight. Again, we've got a grand prize of an autographed football that will also go out the door a little bit later on this evening. John mentioned we're going to talk Northwest Missouri State volleyball. First off, with head coach of the Bearcat volleyball team, Amy Worth. And Coach, you guys have been logging quite a bit of windshield time here at the start of this season. So far, just one home match. But how has the play been on the court for the team so far?
I think it's indicative to how much we have traveled. I think we like to go back. Yesterday we would have liked to have had a better practice, but we were tired from traveling from Washburn. And so it's a little bit of a different schedule from last year. We had a lot of home games, so it was a reverse schedule. So I've had to step back a little bit and make some coaching changes from the standpoint of what we do in our practice so that our ladies, they have fresh legs under them.
I guess one thing that will kind of help as you look at the tail end of the schedule, you'll have several home matches, and those are the conference matches as well. So do you think that being on the road so much just gives you an opportunity to grow as a team, especially since so many of them are non-conference matches?
Yeah, we always talk about controlling the things that you can, and being on the road, you can't control that the schedule is the way it is. And so it's been a good opportunity for our girls to, balance what needs to be balanced and for us to pay attention and listen to what they're saying. And we're excited to be at home. We had one in September, and I think we have three in October, and then we end at home. So they're looking forward to being at home. And I think when you go that hard for that long, it's going to seem easy when we're at home, so that's what we're looking forward to.
What does the I know in the non-conference you like to see some good competition level, that sort of thing. Have you seen pretty good competition so far?
Yeah, the big focus that I did last year when I was looking at the schedule and making it is in region, as I was trying to play as much in region as possible. So both of our tournaments, pre-conference tournaments, were north. So we went up to Sioux Falls, which is Northern Sun. Then we started in Winona, which is also Northern Sun. So with the region, it's tough with Northern Sun, us, and the GAC, and we really want to be heavy going up to Northern Sun so that it's not gray when the committee looks. It's very black and white, but it's a heck of a conference, that's for sure.
And when you talk about getting into the MIAA, do you feel that it has prepared you for that competition as well?
Yeah, I think that, the MIAA has they're a little bit different, obviously, than the Northern Sun. Northern Sun's, they're pretty big. MIAA is somewhat big, but maybe a little bit smaller, so we just have to adjust to maybe the different style of play. But I think the play was at a high level. I don't know that we played to our potential at that point, but that's why we do what we do, and in the standpoint of getting those non-conference in, and then when we get into conference, hopefully the thought is that we're better prepared to be able to take on our own conference.
Looks like you have a pretty good mix in terms of players when you look at some upperclassmen leadership as well as some contributing freshmen and sophomores so far.
Yeah, the big class that we have are juniors now with Brooke and Abby in it, so it's nice to be top heavy on the other side as opposed to fighting to stay alive their freshman or sophomore year. You make a lot of errors and learn some things along the way, have some hard lessons, especially when you're on the court. And now it's turning the other way, so it's nice to see two of our captains are seniors. I got to work with them in the spring, develop their leadership, talk about a lot of things to get them prepared, to lead within. And I think that's the most important thing that needs to happen. I can push them as hard as I want, but if they don't respond and the leaders aren't pushing within the team, it's really hard to go anywhere. We all have to be on the same page. So I feel like from a leadership standpoint, we've got that in order a little bit better this year. And obviously with juniors being top heavy, it's nice to have, older people on the court that we don't have to explain so many things to them now. They get it, so it's nice.
Do you feel like maybe the appreciation level is higher, too, when you've had those struggles, now that you're seeing more successes than struggles?
Right. They appreciate it, and they're tired of what they went through, and so they're ready to they're ready to take a step up and be a better team than we have because of the experience that they have underneath their belt.
Let's look ahead. A few more road matches coming up, as we just talked about.
We call ourselves the Road Warriors.
That's right. Yep. In the stretch, you've got Fort Hays State, Southwest Baptist, Pittsburgh State before you get into another tournament.
Yep.
But just talk about those matches and what you want to see out of the next week or two from the team.
It's about us staying in system. We've messed around with our lineup a little bit, but I feel like, regardless of what we do, regardless what the other teams do, we have to control us a little bit better. And if people saw the Missouri Western game, they made us a lot more uncomfortable than we made them. And it was, There's two games that were really tough there. You know, we went up above 25, and we didn't win either of them. So it was nice to see that we got the third set, but, you know, we didn't like what we showed the fans there. And, you know, from the standpoint of what we're looking forward with Fort Hays, you know, they haven't won a match yet. So, I mean, from the standpoint of a team being hungry, those are the dangerous teams, and we just have to take care of business and do our jobs better than they can, you know. And so it's not like we've been at home a lot, and now we're going on the road. We've been on the road. So we're ready to take that on. And as far as Southwest Baptist, you know, those are the teams that we need to take care of and sweep home and away. Pitt gave us trouble last year here. We lost to them, and so we're excited to go down there before we start the tournament to be able to get back after them what they got. You know, they got us last year, so we're excited to go back down there.
You mentioned the Missouri Western here at home, and even with the frustrations, one thing that I notice is the fight in the team. You know, those you talked about the two long games that you had, and coming out and just fighting back. If you were there for one of the later games and you hadn't seen anything earlier, you wouldn't have been able to tell that your team had a reason to be down. Is that kind of the makeup of the team, that they're going to be fighting no matter what?
They definitely respond to things. They want to win. They're competitive, just like anybody else in this conference. And the biggest difference was they're the opportunities that we didn't take a hold of and take advantage of. And they just took better care of the opportunities they had and put the ball away, where, you know, we might have put the ball in play, but they took that opportunity and turned it into what we call a dig to kill. And so, you know, we really need to focus on taking care of those small things, and that's what always kills teams, is those, you know, those small things that come back to haunt you. So, you know, our team understood that after the match. You know, that's a big rivalry for us. I don't think that you put a lot of emphasis on it at that point of the season, because we had just played all those games. You know, it's not like we had the whole entire week to get ready for Missouri Western. We played them on Tuesday night, so we tried to make it about a rivalry. We tried to talk to them about it, but you know, it was really our first home game. And so, you know, we need to do a better job, you know, in the future of just taking care of our side more consistently.
All right, Coach. Well, I know it's been a solid start. I know you guys got a lot of work to
do
here in the upcoming, but look forward to following you through the rest of the season.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me.
That is Amy Wirth, head coach of the volleyball team at Northwest Missouri State, joining us here this evening on the KXCB Bearcat Coaches Show here at Carson's in downtown Maryville. Before we do go to break, we're going to talk with Brooke Bartosz, one of the players, one of the juniors for the volleyball team, coming up in just a minute, but I want to give away a Northwest cap before we go to break, and that is going to Colin Stanley from Maryville. So, Colin, if you are here, come on up and claim your cap. Another winner of a prize from the student body on 4th Street in Maryville. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back and chat more volleyball, and we come back to Carson's in downtown Maryville on the KXCB Bearcat Coaches Show.
Today's game is brought to you in part by Twaddle Realty in Maryville. As a United Country Realtor, Brian Twaddle provides real estate services for residential, farm, and commercial properties at 562-7562 or MaryvilleMoRealEstate.net.
This Bearcat broadcast is being underwritten by Championship Motors in Maryville. Located at 1528 South Main Street, Bill McCulley and his team offer a variety of pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs. More at ChampionshipMotorsLLC.com or at 660-582-8800.
Support for the Bearcats is provided by East Hill Shopping Center at Frederick Boulevard and Belt Highway in St. Joseph. At 45 minutes from Maryville, East Hills offers new restaurants, including Five Guys, Panchero's Mexican Grill, and Golden Corral. More at shopeasthills.com.
Bearcat radio broadcasts are brought to you by the Bearcat Booster Club, impacting every Northwest student-athlete by providing a source of funds to improve athletic equipment for teams and programs. Membership information available at northwestbearcats.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Maryville Glass and Lock, offering 24-hour emergency service, locksmithing, auto glass, rock chip repair, storefronts, and entrances. More at 582-3131, in-store at 5th and Buchanan, or at MarylevilleGlassAndLock.com.
Support for today's game comes in part from McDonald's in Maryville. McDonald's is open 24 hours every day and now serves a limited breakfast menu beginning at midnight. McDonald's, located at the intersection of South Avenue and South Main Street in Maryville.
And back at Carson's in downtown Maryville as we continue on with the KXCB Bearcat Coaches Show. Still talking Northwest Missouri State Volleyball as we heard from Coach Wirth just a moment ago. And now one of the hitters for the Bearcat Volleyball team, Brooke Bartosz, will join us on the show. Brooke, a junior out of Elkhorn, Nebraska. And Brooke, it seems like there's a lot of athletes here from Elkhorn, Nebraska. What do you guys do in Elkhorn to produce so many good athletes?
I don't know. I think it's the water, probably. Or I have no idea. I don't know.
Do you guys kind of find that up in that area? Everybody's just competitive, athletic. You see them competing in just anything year-round, really?
Yeah, definitely. Like, as we were growing up as kids, we'd always be outside competing. I know I was with my siblings just trying to beat them at everything. Yeah, and it was definitely like everyone had their rivals in high school, and so you see a lot of that, like the players that come to college too, and you're like, hey, I know you, I'm gonna beat you.
What's the travel been like for you guys this season? You've spent a lot of time on the road.
A lot of time on the road, and it's a good way to get homework done, I guess. but yeah, as far as being on the road all the time, it's kind of hard to get all of your like tests and everything done, so you have to be really focused on school and talking to your teachers, making sure they know what's happening.
By the way, I'm impressed that you brought up making sure school comes first. That's I like that. That's impressive. What do you think that's going to help you guys out in the season in terms of on the court, that you've had so much that you've done on the road, that when you get so many home matches at the end, that maybe it'll make it a little bit more relaxing, a little bit more comfortable to play?
Yeah, I think being on the bus in general, like everyone talks to everyone, so you definitely get closer with your team, and it just kind of gives you like a mental toughness, I think, being on the road all the time. So when you're at home, it's kind of almost a relief, I guess.
Talk about the progression. Coach was talking about how you know, you guys have had your ups and downs as you're coming through the program. Now you're a junior. What's it like now this year? You're starting to see some of the work that you guys have put in really build, and you're seeing more successes than failures. Has that been kind of a fun progression to get to that point?
Yeah, it's definitely good seeing that all of our hard work is not going to waste, and seeing our freshmen step up and how much they've grown, and even like the sophomores this year really doing a great job for our team. So
do you guys find that it's kind of your, as upperclassmen, a responsibility to make sure that younger players, and I don't mean just learning the game and things like that, obviously that's part of it, but just learning about traveling and, you know, being in the MIAA and that sort of thing, do you kind of take that upon yourselves to teach them those sorts of things?
Yeah, on and off the court, I think the seniors and juniors have taken a big step in being leaders. So the freshmen kind of just follow the sophomores, and the sophomores follow the juniors, and the juniors just listen to what the heck the seniors are saying. So it's kind of a trickle-down effect.
Talk about on the court. Of course, Bridget Hannafin is your setter. You're a hitter. How important is the setter and you guys being on the same page to having a successful offense?
Very important. Probably one of the key aspects to winning. You always have to be on the same page as your setter. You're not going to connect, not going to get that hit that you want, not going to score. So very important.
What's the best way to kind of build that so that you guys are used to each other? What's the best way to get to that point?
I mean, we work on it every day in practice. We always say like, communication is one of the keys, obviously, to winning, and it really is. Like, you always have to be on that same page with your setter and know what she's thinking and be loud, I guess.
That's the fun part, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Yep.
What's your favorite part about practice?
Just playing, honestly. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're here for.
Yeah.
So.
Is the opportunity to just kind of hang out as a team. Obviously, that also goes along with the travel as well, you know, getting to hang out as a team. You haven't gotten sick of each other yet with all the windshield time, have you?
No. I mean, obviously, everyone's going to get sick of each other, like, once in a while, because we're kind of like siblings in that way, but we get over it really fast, and we're back to normal.
What's the toughest part about the MIAA, playing in the MIAA?
All of the teams, I think, are just really even. Like, there's an even playing field. Anything can happen at any point in time, and you just have to stay focused and be ready.
We were talking to Coach Worth about the Missouri Western match in particular and how you guys seem to be able to put any negatives out of your mind and continue to fight hard. Do you have to have a short memory to be able, especially when you're looking at maybe a five-game match?
Yeah, you really do. And that's something that we practice, too, in practice. It takes a lot of mental toughness, I think, just to wipe it off and get the next point.
Brooke, thanks for joining us.
You're
good
welcome.
Luck through the rest of the season.
Thank you.
That's Brooke Bartosh. She is a hitter for the Northwest Missouri State volleyball team. Again, a junior out of Elkhorn, Nebraska, joining us on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show this evening. We'll take a quick timeout and be back here with more in downtown Maryville at Carson's after this on the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show.
Bearcat Radio broadcasts are brought to you by Vaccaro and Herzog, REMAX First Choice Real Estate of Liberty, Missouri, specializing in residential and commercial property in North Kansas City. More information is available at 816-806-7777.
Today's game is being underwritten by Compass Dental Group in Maryville. Doctors Bruce Twaddle and Brian Viertaler, along with their wives Polly and Rebecca, provide braces, implants, same-day crowns, and general dentistry. More at CompassDentalGroup.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Shelter Insurance, providing auto, home, life, business insurance, 24-hour claims assistance, and insurance protection reviews. More information is available from Shelter agents Dave Weigel of Maryville, Craig Thompson of Albany, and Kent Peterson of Stanbury.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Walker Body Shop and Towing at 420 North Market Street in Maryville. Celebrating their 50th anniversary, Walker's provides complete collision repair and 24-hour towing for cars and trucks. 660-582-3104.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from Dion and Judy Roush at Bearcat Lanes and Lounge in Maryville. Bearcat Lanes offers open bowling sessions daily, league bowling, lane rentals for private events, as well as programs for kids. More online at BearcatLanes.com.
Support for today's broadcast comes in part from A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G provides a sit-down menu, banquet rooms, and catering. More information available at 660-582-4421 or online at agrestaurant.com.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. I'm John Coffey alongside Matt Gordon. We'll be joined by the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team, Adam Dorrell, coming up in just a moment. But before we talk to AD, we've got a couple of more giveaways to talk about. First of all, a student body gift card goes to Ricardo Lugo of Maryville. So a student body gift card to Ricardo Lugo of Maryville. So again, that gift card. And come over and see Rodney over to our left. To pick that up, and this is something that we've been bringing to the show the last few weeks that we'll be giving away here, a 2013 autographed team football, and that goes to Dorothy Baldwin of Maryville.
Oh.
So Dorothy Baldwin of Maryville receives an autographed 2013 team football. So,
she's excited. That's
all
awesome.
All right. And now it's time to talk with Adam Dorrell, the head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team. AD, a good win for your team last Saturday, a long trip over to Hayes, Kansas, but it's a shorter trip back when you come away with a victory like
that.
Yeah,
it is. Those trips are always a lot better after you win and you played well. And I was very proud of our kids on the way they started over there and got on the scoreboard early. It was a great atmosphere, good atmosphere that they had over there. And in an atmosphere like that, it's very exciting to play in for the kids. And so it was a great trip, good trip overall, and a lot of fun.
Mentioned the good start. Do you get a little bit more concerned about that when you do have a full day on the road and, with the night game that they may not be quite ready?
Yeah, it's something you kind of got to let it build. It's in the hotel, and it's something you talk about a little bit, but not a lot. But it certainly can be a challenge. I think it can be a challenge for a really young team. And, obviously we've got some veterans and some good leaders, and I think that helps that situation.
I know on the pregame show last Saturday, you talked about that one of the keys was going to be getting off to that good start, and you're able to go out and really accomplish that.
Yeah, I think so. One of the things you worry about in a game like that when you're playing a team that is struggling a little bit is you just let them hang around at halftime, and they'll start feeding off the crowd and just start feeding off their energy. And so it was important that we went over there and got off to that good start. We tried to be aggressive in offense, defense, and in special teams, and it just it really helps when you when you're playing on the road when you get a great start like that.
Seemed like you got a good mix in all three of those areas, where you got a big play or two here or there in all three of those areas, but played really consistent even when you weren't getting the big play.
Yeah, we did. And, you know, you go back and you watch the film on Sunday, and obviously there's things you're disappointed in, but for the most part, we felt like we were playing pretty sound in all three phases.
And special teams have always been consistent throughout the season, up to a certain point where you're making some big plays on special teams.
It really is, John. I mean, you know, going into that game, we'd scored 21 points on special teams, and then, you know, it's not going to show up on the stat sheet, but the fact that we recovered two kickoff returns that were muffed. One was a muff, and the other one we stripped from the kid, but I think both of those were inside the 15, and we scored 14 points in three plays. And so, I mean, that's not going to show up, but that's basically 14 points again our special team scored us. And just very proud of our effort right now, and the kids, and they're just hungry on special teams. They believe that something good's going to happen, and that's awesome, because that's not easy to do.
You know, obviously big plays are going to give your team a boost, but do you think maybe a big play on special teams getting a touchdown may even give you a little bit bigger boost? Because I don't know, to me it just seems like with special teams you don't expect
right.
that many big plays.
Certainly, yeah, I agree with you. I think the energy level just erupts when you get a huge play on special teams, because the norm on special teams at most levels, whether it's high school, college, or in the NFL, it's just you usually don't see that big, explosive, game-changing type of play a lot. And, you know, fortunately for us right now, the fans, you've got a chance to have seen it in all three games. So it's pretty exciting. I find myself not wanting to look away when special teams are out there.
It really seems like the players take a lot of pride in being on those special teams.
They do. You know, it's very competitive, the way that we structure it, the way that Kenny structures it. You know, there's just not a lot of room for error on there. So if a kid wants to be on there and wants to stay on there, he's got to execute, and he's got to do what he's supposed to do on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And I just, you know, I'm proud of our coaches, the way he's structuring that. He makes it very, very competitive. And, of course, when you got a lot of great athletes like we do, and those kids are really buying into that, and it's great to see, and it makes it very exciting.
So obviously this year you guys have used two different quarterbacks. It's hard to make that work. What is it that's got it working for you guys?
Well, I think it's a trust issue. I think when you get to that juncture with kids, it's trust. They believe in what we're doing. They believe in me, and they trust us as coaches. And the same thing is, we reciprocate that to them. We trust our kids. And, you know, we always tell our kids we're going to do what's best for the football team, and we're going to do what's best that's going to help us win football games and graduate kids. And sometimes that means you got to make some tough decisions, but it all starts, you know, in our case, the quarterback. You got a kid who's a senior, who's basically been a 3-year starter, who believes in what we're doing, and he has a very low ego, and he's about us winning football games. And again, that's usually not the norm, and it's very refreshing to see in college athletics, because you watch, you read exactly what I read. That's not the norm right now with kids in our society. And so when you got a kid who's buying into that, it's awesome. And it just, our kids feed off of it. I just can't tell you how they feed off it in the locker room, and on the sideline, and in practice, and just something that would seem so minute. Yeah, it's a big deal.
Trevor Adams also, I thought, came back after struggling a little bit against Central Missouri the week before, came out and had a very solid game against Fort AC.
Yeah, I was very proud of him. You know, I've said it, we've talked before, confidence in student athletes, it's such a fine line there of having the confidence and losing it. And so to see him bounce back like he did, I was very proud of him. He came out in warm-ups and was really focused, and throwing the ball on time and getting it out of his hand. And so we were just very proud of him, the way he responded.
So I would guess that forcing defensive coaches for opponents to work on this many things, and it's not just with the quarterback, because obviously different positions do different things on the offense because of that. That's got to be a huge factor.
Yeah, it does. I mean, right now when Brady comes in, we're running more spread stuff and a lot of what we call empty, when there's nobody in the backfield. We're giving him a lot of the time. His stuff is a run pass check that we're doing at the line of scrimmage, and so it just makes it difficult for us to defend. And again, it goes back to, it makes us a better football team. And You know, the thing that I feel good about is, as coaches, that we're seeing what people are trying to do to him. And if they're being really, really vanilla, we have a plan for that. If they're being super aggressive, we have a plan for that, too. And so it certainly makes it fun for us as coaches to have that many weapons. And we can get very creative on Sunday and Monday game planning for our kids.
Again, we're talking with Adam Gorla, head football coach at Northwest Missouri State University. And if you have any questions here at Carson Sports Girl that you have for AD, flag down our sideline reporter, Chris Roush. He's walking around working the crowd, and he'll take the question cards and bring it up to us, and we'll pass that along to Adam as well. Adam, another key on Saturday with the win against Fort Hays State, the quick start in the third quarter for you.
Yeah, you know, you come right out, and we're winning what we're winning, and we get that kick return, strip that kid of that football, and then go right up top and score. I mean, that really crushed him. And so it's good. You know, in the game of football, college football, the most important drive in a football game is the first drive of the second half, whether you receive the football or whether you're going to play defense, because it just really sets the tempo and the momentum for the rest of the football game. And so to go out and just get a turnover and score like that, really, it was great to see our kids.
I know one of the concerns going in was the fact that their quarterback was a good running quarterback, would do that run, pass, read, and that sort of thing. How much of that? We talked in triple option how that's assignment football for defenses. Was it similar in this sense?
They're running a lot of the modern-day option stuff, where it's a front-side power ride play. And we run it, too. We call it the pride play. And they hadn't shown it that much on film, but they were hurting us with it a little bit. And, you know, I got to give their back a lot of credit. I thought their back ran really hard. And, you know, of course, we came back and watched the tape on Sunday, and we were a little disappointed. Our defense staff was a little disappointed and thought we missed some assignments of where we were supposed to be, who was playing the dive, you know, who was playing quarterback, so to speak. And but it's something to learn from. But it's alignment, assignment football, and it really starts with getting lined up right. Who's supposed to have the A gap, B gap, C gap? Who's got the quarterback? Who's got sweep? And how are you going to leverage it back to your help? And for the most part, we did pretty well. Obviously, if you only give up 14 points, but there's some things we could do better.
All right, again, that's Adam Durrell, head coach of the Northwest Missouri State football team. And when we come back, we'll talk to Adam about the upcoming matchup as the Bearcats return home to face Nebraska Kearney on Saturday afternoon. That's coming up right after this timeout as the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show continues from downtown Maryville and Carson Sports Group.
Today's Bearcat Radio broadcast is sponsored by Hy-Vee. Located at 1217 South Main, Hy-Vee offers groceries, delicatessen, salad bar, gas, a bakery, floral shop, and pharmacy. More information is available in-store or at 660-582-2191. Today's game is brought to you by Maryville State Farm Insurance agents Kerry Myers and Kevin Neal, providing insurance and financial services at 121 West Lincoln and behind Applebee's at 305 Larry Lane, 562-3882 or 582-3512.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Shrek Auto in Maryville. Lou Shrek and his team provide automotive care from tune-ups to oil changes to brakes and major repairs. More at 562-4884 or in shop at 125 East South Avenue in Maryville.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Support for today's game comes from Pizza Hut in Maryville. Pizza Hut offers a daily lunch buffet from 11:30 to 1 and Tuesday nights from 5:30 to 7. Dine-in, carry-out, or delivery is available. More online at pizzahut.com or in-store at 732 South Main in Maryville.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from the Student Body Screen Printing and Embroidery. Now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville, the Student Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation.
Welcome back to the KXCB Bearcat Coaches Show. I'm John Coffey alongside Matt Gorder and the head football coach at Northwest Missouri State, Adam Dorrell. Again, if you have any questions for Adam, pass those along to us. Chris Roush, our sideline reporter, was going through the crowd. He'll pick those up. And we have one right now to pass along. This comes from Lee Risco. He wants to know about Nebraska Kearney and if they present any special challenges for you.
Yeah, they do. They're just a dangerous football team right now. And I'll start by the fact that they're 0-3, and so you look at them and you go, they're 0-3. Well, all three of their losses are to teams that are currently undefeated. So they've kind of had the misfortune of playing a really tough schedule early. But I think the biggest problem that they're going to present for us right now is our quarterback. I think he had close to 400 yards of total offense last week by himself, and he's a transfer from the University of Nebraska. He was a highly sought-after kid coming out of high school, out of Millard South High School. My roommates in college were with Millard South, and at the time they were the Indians, and they still tell me they're the Indians, but now they're the Patriots. But he's a very explosive player, and he's just gotten better each week. And last week, he really hurt Missouri Western. And so that's going to be a, right now, the way I look at it, we got a lot of challenges, but that's going to be a huge challenge for us.
How does he get most of his yards?
Option. They run option football where they run speed option. They'll run some zone option, play action passes off of a wheel option and step back and throw the football. You know, he's thrown a few interceptions in the first game. He did better job of last week of not turning it over on pitches and stuff, but they're just a big option team right now, and it kind of the tale of two cities, what they were doing week one and what they did last week for Missouri Western. They hadn't shown a lot of it on film, a lot of new formations and stuff, so it's been a challenging week for our defense trying to get ready.
A little bit of a difference preparing for Nebraska Kearney this year than last year at the quarterback position. They were so banged up. Yeah. I think they ended up using a wide receiver. Did a pretty good job, but a guy that hadn't taken a lot of snaps at quarterback at the college level, and got a little bit of a different setup this year.
Well, they do, and the thing that's difficult, and it just, you know, again, when I say they're a very scary football team, is their offensive line is really good. As of right now, it's the best offensive line we've seen, not even close. It'll be better in Saginaw Valley's offensive line, and they're just big, they're physical, they're nasty kids. I mean, they're just blue-collar, tough. They like to cut and chop people, and it's going to be a huge challenge for our defensive line and our linebackers to stay on their feet. You know, if they're supposed to, a guy who's supposed to play quarterback, he can't get cut off his feet, and because the Marsh kid, if he gets in the open, he's going to go.
How important is it to show some different fronts defensively against an O-line like that?
It's huge. I think when you got to mess with his read key and who he's reading pre-snap and show some edge pressure and back off. Or, you know, we'll slide in and out of an even and an odd front and try to mix up who has quarterback and basically who has dive. And I think that's the most important thing. But, yeah, it's important to change up your looks. And we've got to get them into passing situations. You know, we can't be allowing a bunch of yards on first down, or we're in for a fight.
And as far as their defense, what challenges do they provide defensively?
Well, again, you look at what they did versus Washburn. I think versus Washburn, Washburn ran 70-something snaps, and I think they blitzed 10 times, and then they go and play Emporia State, and they were running out of a 40 front. I think they blitzed around 12 or 13 times. And then last week versus Missouri Western, they lined up and they were playing a 30 front, an odd front, and they blitzed around 37 times. So that's their biggest challenge right now. I'm not sure what we're going to get. We're expecting a lot of pressure, because I thought they played pretty well against Missouri Western, who's good on offense, and just lined up and getting a lot more athletes on the field, getting quicker, speedier guys, and just blitzing guys from everywhere. So, the keys for victory for us, we talked about all week, are stopping the quarterback, win the turnover battle, and we gotta handle their pressure, whether we're running the football or throwing it.
Sounds like something that you guys have done a good job of this year is going to be important this week, and that's on-field, in-game adjustments, because, like you said, you're not exactly sure what you might
see. Yeah, I think especially when we're on offense, we've really got to – there's some things we think we can do to get some matchups that are in our favor, but, again, you got to that's what we always use our first 15 plays for, to kind of probe them formationally and see how they're going to line up. And but it's going to be very important, and it's something we've talked with our kids about.
Should be a great atmosphere on Saturday, a family weekend, a lot of families coming back to campus. I don't know, not only is it a big weekend from that aspect, but for the Bearcat football team, you've turned a family weekend into something that's very special for you.
Yeah, it is, John. That's the week we've always chose as a football program to honor Scott, Coach Bostwick, and we're going to wear the red paw again, and they look awesome. We got them on our helmets today, and kids are very excited about that. And it's just once a year we take that time and just kind of educate our new kids and our young kids on who Scott was. And, you know, we do some different stuff in the locker room to talk about him. And we have a couple people talk about it throughout the week. And then we'll have a, you know, a guest speaker who obviously is very close to Scott and kind of educate our kids. And it's always that one time a year where we kind of get a chance to remember him and laugh about stuff, you know, some of his sayings. But it is very important for that. It's important for our kids. A lot of their families are going there. It's important for me. My twins turn 3 on Saturday, and so we're looking forward to hopefully getting a Bearcat win and having a big birthday bash. And so it's going to be a very, very exciting weekend.
You better start pregame early. There aren't any Bostwick stories out there that might take up any time on Saturday. That's great. Then, you know, this past summer, you know, they named a park for him there up at Wesley, and so it's so cool to see, obviously, the tributes here continue and will, but to see that up there as well just kind of adds to everything.
It's crazy. You still look at a roster on how many kids that he recruited, you know, and there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. So it's good. Our kids enjoy it, and they just it's good for them to reminisce. And you know, it's you know, he's missed by us, and he's missed by our kids. And so it's important that we honor him and talk about him, you know. And we do a lot, but we just that one time a year we really focus on it.
I would imagine besides just the stories you want to tell about Scott, one of the things you'd like to continue to have instilled into this football team that Scott was so good about was just the intensity level that he would bring to the playing field.
He really did. Defensively, that was, you know, his signature. And I think the other thing, he didn't get a lot, just the family atmosphere that he brought to our football program. That was very important to him, and that was important to his life with him and Sue and their family. And, you know, the get-togethers were legendary over there after games. And so, yeah, those are the two main things, just the intensity and the fire that he got our defense to play with, and just the family atmosphere he brought to Northwest Missouri State helped make it real special.
It's so cool because, you know, every year all football teams have homecomings, and that seems to be the one weekend. But you guys have multiple weekends that are big, fun weekends.
Yeah, we do, and it's exciting. You know, we're in such a great hub. We have so many alumni in Omaha, Lincoln, Kansas City, and Des Moines that, I mean, I'm sure you guys see before the game how many guys, former players, are down on the sideline. And, you know, that's important to me. I really tell our players that leave, you know, we always have an open-door policy. I want those guys coming back and getting involved with our current kids. And, you know, it's one of the things that I try to pass on to our current kids is, you know, those guys are a window for you in your future and in your careers. And, you know, you'd be surprised on how many kids that have left our place that go do internships with former Northwest football players, or they get a job lead or get a job interview because of a former Bearcat. And that's what makes this place special. You know, and I've worked at 3 other different institutions, and it's not even close. And, you know, that's what we have here. It's very unique, and it's very special. And, you know, it's something you just, you know, we can't take for granted. I say we, all of us, because it's not like this at every place.
All right. Well, AD, thanks a lot for being with us, and good luck to you on Saturday.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And that's the head football coach at Northwest Missouri State, Adam Dorrell, as the Bearcats get set to face Nebraska Kearney coming up Saturday afternoon at the Bearcat Stadium. We'll be back and wrap things up on another edition of the KXCB Bearcat Coaches Show right after this time matters. We're broadcasting live from downtown Maryville and Carson Sports Group.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network comes from national investors in Redfield, Iowa, and Northwest alumni R. Joe Smith and Greg Wilson, providing asset protection, retirement planning, estate organization, and insurance options. More at nationalinvestors.com.
Support for today's game comes from Bram Danfelt Funeral Home in Maryville at 206 East South Hills Drive. Director Jeff Bram provides families with pre-arrangements, burial, and cremation services. More at bramfuneralhome.com.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by Nottoway Valley Bank, now offering its customers mobile banking services. More information is available online at nvb.com or at any one of their locations in Maryville, Savannah, Mound City, and St. Joseph.
Support for the Bearcat Radio Network is provided by Nottoway County Economic Development, promoting the community, supporting business development, and growing community opportunity. Nottoway County Economic Development. More at MaryvilleMO.org.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from MTE Office Centers with locations in Maryville and Cameron. Providing computers, printing, networking furniture, and office supplies since 1935, MTE Office Center at 216 East 3rd in Maryville and 811 South Walnut in Cameron.
Support for this Bearcat sports broadcast comes from Carson Sports Grill, located at 310 North Main, offering lunch and dinner meals for dine-in or carry-out. Carson's, featuring a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more. For more information, 582-2699.
Welcome back to the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show. We wrap things up for another Thursday evening here at Carson Sports Grill. Matt Gorder, it should be another fun weekend on the Northwest Missouri State campus.
Yeah, getting, you heard Nady just talking about the red logo on the side of the helmets. There's a picture of the helmet with the, of course, it'll be brand new because it's the new logo in red. So, looks awesome on the green helmets, and, that's going to be fun. And honoring Coach Bostwick, that's always fun because it means you get to tell Bostwick stories. And everybody's got at least a few, some more than others, but they're all good.
Oh, no doubt about that. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff, first afternoon game of the year. 12 noon is our airtime with Bearcat Game Day, sponsored by Hy-Vee, and we've got a lot coming up on the pregame leading up to kickoff time, and it should be a fun afternoon of football.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the only thing that might dampen it, no pun intended. I know there's some rain in the forecast, but hopefully that won't wash out the fun of football.
All right. Again, our thanks to all our guests involved with tonight's program here at Carson Sports Grill in downtown Maryville. Along a reminder as well that support for the KXCV Bearcat Coaches Show comes from the Stuner Body Screen Printing and Embroidery, now located near the Northwest Campus at the corner of 4th and Fillmore in Maryville. Stuner Body provides Bearcat fanware, custom screen printing and embroidery for teams, clubs, and businesses throughout the Bearcat Nation. And again, support also comes from Carson Sports Grill, located on the Maryville Square, open for lunch or dinner, and offers a selection of sandwiches, appetizers, and more for dine-in or carry-out. More information at 660-582-2699. And again, our thanks to Carson and Renee and all the wait staff here at Carson Sports Grill for doing another fine job this evening. Our thanks to our guests, and thanks to Matt Gorder. I'm John Coffin. We'll be back here again next Thursday night at 6 o'clock for another edition.